Yeah. So if we're made for rest, that is our purpose, then how do we let that rest shape our work and our play? But when it comes to work, what does restful work look like so that it's not so much about striving and not so burdensome? Where did you feel the burden of last week?
Yeah, I think the burden definitely came from more the mental juggle of going, I feel like everything sometimes depends on me.
Mm.
Or I feel like if it doesn't work out in this particular way, then I can't rest. I am not feeling as comfortable with being able to let things go. So there's a bit of control. There's a bit of dependence on my own abilities. And I have to be very intentional about saying, is this really what I'm responsible for?
Hello again. Welcome to the Her Work podcast. I'm Caroline Spencer, and it's great to have you with us. Here at the Her Work podcast, our tagline is Reframed by Jesus. We want to have conversations about work and what it means as workers to work well in God's world. This podcast is brought to you by City Bible Forum, where I'm a trainer and mentor. Sitting across from me, my conversation partner for today is Shamara. Shamara's background is in law, and she loves exploring Sydney one coffee and croissant at a time. Welcome, Shamara.
Thanks, Garo. Lovely to be here.
Now, I thought I'd start our conversation today with three of what I think are the most beautiful verses in the Bible, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11. That is such a beautiful promise. Shamara, what do you think and feel when I read those words?
Well, firstly, I feel like you should always read those words, Caro, because it was so calming just to listen to you. But I think for me, when I hear those verses, I really feel very assured. I feel comforted and I feel like I can breathe, which is a nice place to start.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I find them calming too, but I think I also find them a little unsettling because it gets me thinking, how can I make more use of the rest that Jesus offers, and what difference would it make to life? And there's nothing like a bit of FOMO, the fear of missing out, to get me learning. And it's got me thinking about three things with these verses. The first is yokes. Yeah. So Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And a yoke is a instrument of work. So it's the bar that they put across oxen when they ploughed the field. So Jesus' yoke, he's not saying, I will give you rest from work. He's saying, I'll give you rest from the weariness of work. And then the second thing that I've been thinking about is burdens, because Jesus says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And I can imagine that there's a bit of a contrast going on there, that Jesus has in mind the Pharisees, because he does say they give heavy loads to people in Matthew 23, that heavy burden of legalism, whereas Jesus has a light burden that is free from condemnation and judgment. And so I take it that we don't have to prove ourselves to God or others. That's what the light burden is about. And then the third thing that this has got me thinking is that whole come, take, learn from me language. So Jesus says, come to me, take my yoke, learn from me. And I take it that that is, he's talking about ongoing discipleship. So the Christian life is a life of rest in Jesus. And that gets me thinking about a quote from a book I read called Transforming Work. And that's a brilliant book for digging into the Bible and what it has to say about work. The quote is, "We were made to work we were made for rest. So we were made to work, made for rest. Mm. So the to work means that it's talking about design. We were designed to work. And the made for rest is that rest is the goal or the end that we're heading towards. So Hebrews 4, there's still a rest ahead for the people of God. And I don't know about you, Shamara, but I find rest a bit of a confusing word, because it suggests doing nothing or inactivity, maybe even a little self-indulgence.
Yeah.
Whereas in the Bible, rest is the presence of God, having fellowship with God, enjoying God, being at home with God. And so enjoying that eternal rest with God in the future, we will be working.
Yeah.
You know, Revelation 22 talks about serving and reigning, whatever that looks like. We do know that it'll be joyful work without the toil, the anxiety, the strain and the striving of work in this world. So I wanted to ask you, what do you think about the idea that we were made for rest?
Yeah, I think firstly, initially it does unsettle me to think of the idea that there's something outside of work that we are made for.
Mm.
But I do like that idea. I think it paints a different picture, doesn't it? The idea that there's something I don't have to strive for. Use those words when you were talking about that passage, the idea of burden, of toil, a feeling that there's a lot on us to be doing something.
Mm.
And I think the idea that God has created you and me to actually just hold on to something that is deeper, that is freeing in a sense.
Mm.
It frees me to think differently about rest. It frees me to, even when I'm working in the frenzy and the hurried and the rushness of whatever it is that our weeks can look like.
Mm. Yeah. And if we're made for rest, then that means that is our purpose.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking about how if we think work is our purpose, then the danger is that work ends up defining us, being what we live for.
Absolutely. I can relate a lot to that. I think I will often go, if you think like a spectrum, I will move towards being defined by something.
Mm.
And it could be work. It could be things outside of work. It could be ministry. I can think of many times in life where I have moved towards the identity coming from the doing or the work itself. And that sort of can be a burden that can feel heavy, and that can feel like a huge mental form of fatigue when we forget that our true purpose and who we are has actually nothing to do with what we're doing.
We've been talking about work, obviously, but I think the same thing could actually apply to holidays. So I do know people that live for their holidays, so that's, that can be what is defining them. Yeah, so if we're made for rest, that is our purpose, then how do we let that rest shape our work and our play? But when it comes to work, what does restful work look like so that it's not so much about striving and not so burdensome? And I thought it'd be good to explore that practically. So I'm going to put you on the spotlight here, Shamara. What was last week like for you?
Last week. I can't even remember last week, so that's probably a good place to start. No, I'm joking. Last week, it's towards the end of the financial year. Things feel very frenzied. You've got to get things done by the 30th of June, and then just balancing other things. So I had a family member who was unwell, and I just had to take some carer's leave. And then my mum was going overseas, and I won't see her for another 6 months. So I had to take a day off just to spend some time with her before heading off. And so there was just that emotional side of saying goodbye to someone who I won't see for a while, looking after people who I care about, but also making sure I was responsible for the things that I was responsible for at work and feeling like I want to be committed to those things.
Mm. Now, you may have already answered this question just there, but where did you feel the burden of last week?
I think the burden definitely came from more the mental juggle of going, I feel like everything sometimes depends on me.
Mm.
Or I feel like if it doesn't work out in this particular way, then I can't rest. I'm not feeling as comfortable with being able to let things go. So there's a bit of control. There's a bit of dependence on my own abilities. And I have to be very intentional about saying, is this really what I'm responsible for?
So if I can push that a bit further, what helped or hindered when it came to finding rest in Jesus, as you think about that last week?
Yes. So let's start with the hindered. I think the hindering is that striving and that sense or that mindset of it all depends on me. And I think that can play out behaviorally. So I think you can sort of feel a bit more frenzied, then you can do a lot more than you need to do. What helps is being able to, even in the moments where it is busy, when you're rushing from one thing to the next, being able to find those moments for me where I can actually just take a step back and say, I can even come to God and say, help. I don't have to have the right words. I don't have to have the right mindset. I can just come to the Lord and I know that He cares. I can observe things that are bigger than me and I can notice the bigger picture. So that could even just be as simple as I'm on the train to work and I'll just notice creation and I'll be a bit more mindful of what God is doing outside of just myself.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. As you were sharing about your week, I was thinking about my own last week where I had 3 days of professional development and I felt the burden because I knew that work was piling up on my desk and particularly concerned at this time of year about fundraising, needing to do some more work in that space. And it was interesting, the professional development itself brought out all my insecurities. So I actually felt quite intimidated in that in that context of, oh, I'm not as good or as competent as the people that I'm here with. And the whole question about what helped or hindered, there was a lot of hindrances, I think. So as I reflect on last week, I think, wow, some great learning for the future. One thing I did learn from the professional development that was helpful was that when I'm stressed or fatigued, my brain is more likely to operate on emotion and instinct. And I think that's really interesting because it means I will add more to my burden because I'll compare myself with others, for example. And the other interesting thing when I'm operating on emotion and instinct is that I will try to carry the burden myself. So learnings for next time, and this is a lot of parallels with what you just said earlier, just I need to be more observant of where I'm feeling overwhelmed and ask myself some questions because that helps to slow my brain down. So, Caro, what is going on here? What are you thinking and feeling? And as you express that, what do you think about those thoughts and feelings? And I can pray and trust that God is looking after the work that is piling up on my desk and also the fundraising. Like He's in control, I'm not. Yeah, I can rest in that. And then that helps me to, I think, be more present and notice where I am and what's going on around me and value the moment for what it is. Yeah. I'm still weary because I'm a finite human being. But I do think I would feel less weary because I'm carrying less of an emotional burden that, well, I actually don't need to carry because God's got it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I can relate to that feeling of just feeling calmer when we are more present. So I think one thing a friend told me last year was be where your feet are. And that's a lovely analogy. I think I've heard it in in a sporting sense. I don't think I play sports that require me to be where my feet are, but it is a nice way to ground yourself on Jesus and the fact that He has everything. And I think that is a way of me trusting God. If I can just focus on the person in front of me, or I can focus on my work, but then I can close that and let that go. That's a practical way that I can learn to grow in my trust in the Lord.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Now, that gets me thinking about a quote from Augustine, which is, "Our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." And restless, another interesting word I looked up, and it means a inability to settle or find peace. And I think that's interesting, because how do we know if we're restless or not? You know, are we just going through a bored patch, an impatient patch? Are we neurodiverse? Like, there are other explanations. They do say that certain feelings and behaviours are associated with restlessness. So, Shamara, can you think of a situation where you think you may have been restless? So don't say what the situation is. But, yeah, you
absolutely,
can.
Absolutely, yes.
Yep, you've got one in mind?
Yes.
Excellent. So I'm going to read out the following, and let me know if any of these resonate with you in terms of how you are feeling in that situation.
Sure.
Okay. Something is missing.
Yes.
I need a change.
Not
so much?
Not so much. Yep. Yes.
Maybe elsewhere is better.
Not so much, no.
I can't relax.
Yes.
I need stimulation or escape.
No.
Okay. Now, restlessness often produces movement. So which of the following were true for you in that situation? Endless scrolling.
Not a scroller.
What about changing plans?
No.
No? What about chasing novelty?
No. Not as often, no.
Okay. What about overworking?
Absolutely, yes.
What about fantasizing about another life?
Not really, no.
What about compulsive productivity or distraction?
Also would put my hand up as completely relatable, yes.
And can you think of any other behaviors that you'd want to add there?
Yeah.
As you think about that situation?
One of the things I find I do, and I think there's a healthy space to do this. So withdrawal, that can be good. But I think a form of withdrawal that I find sometimes can be unhealthy for me is when I'm not myself, or I might move away from others. So that connection that's healthy and helpful.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, withdrawal in a sense that I might be shutting down a bit more mentally.
Yes.
I think that is a form of restlessness.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Thanks, Shamara. I didn't think about that. Now, I think restlessness is good for us to talk about, because I kind of think of it as a deep wound that we might be trying to treat with a Band-Aid. So you find yourself some new toys, you take a bit more time off, you change jobs, you achieve something. They're kind of, I guess, Band-Aid solutions for what is a deep wound. So I guess the question now is, what do we do if we are restless? Yeah. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree that there are a lot of other things that we can feel that problem with. And I think there are a whole bunch of resources and podcasts that talk about the practical side of it. For me, I think what's most important is, firstly, trying not to come straight to a solution. Sometimes it's okay to sit with something and to think about, like, why am I feeling this way? And that can be good. I think I'm often someone who will rush to, I need to get a solution here. But ultimately, it is a form of idolatry, I suppose. You know, whatever it is that's trying to fill me is not filling me. And sometimes it can be really good things as well. And so ultimately, I think leaning into Jesus and trying to really remember, who am I? That invitation to come it's an invitation to be more than just what I do.
Mm.
And that's where I feel the most settled.
Mm.
And sometimes it might look like remembering grace, remembering that I need to be kinder to myself, and that's going to remind me of how God has been kind to me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes, as you were talking there, it reminds me of a conversation that I had with a friend, and I've been thinking about restlessness. And so I rang this friend and said to her, oh, do you think you might be restless? Thinking, oh, I hope she's not offended by me suggesting that to her. And I was actually a bit worried about it. And she went, oh, yeah, that of course that's my issue. I'm restless. What's the solution though? Yeah. And I thought about it, and I thought, actually, yes, as you said, it is just about coming to Jesus.
Mm.
And that if our hearts chase anything else, then they're just Band-Aids and it's in vain. Yeah.
That's right.
Shamari, you've just had 3 months long service leave.
Yes.
Yeah. What did you learn about rest?
Oh, well, if I could describe the way I went into that long service leave, Caro, it was with laptops, books. I'm like, I'm going to get this done. And I'm very grateful that God was gracious. And it gave me an opportunity to actually be uncomfortable with rest. Mm. So a lot of the time I was overseas, I was in South Asia, and the pace is very different there.
Mm.
Even if it's in a busy city, I think just cross-culturally life is different.
Mm.
And so the opportunity to not have a structure, to just wake up and go, oh, now what do I do? was quite uncomfortable and unsettling. But it taught me a lot about the importance of slowing down, the importance of being present and perspective.
Mm.
I think when you see life lived in a different way, in a different context, you start to see that I am just one small little person in a much bigger world.
Mm.
And that gives me permission, I think, to pause and be present. Yeah.
Mm. And so coming back to life here,
yeah.
Did you notice a difference?
Yes. I think sometimes it takes intentionality, but I think what it gave me was an opportunity to then put some of these things into practice. So I often walk to work the fastest way that I can, but now I don't do that.
Mm.
I might take a different route. And I think that's okay. Like, I know that might sound, oh, we have places to be and things to do, but is it that important? Is it that urgent? What is the most important thing? And so I might just take a bit more time to walk to work. But in a more serious tone, I think I can remind myself of many things. But if I don't have friends and people in my life who can keep me accountable, I think that's really important as well. So what it taught me during my time away was community is important. People around me are important. And so I try and bring that in now where I spend time with others in an intentional way, and they remind me if I am forgetting some of those things that I'm trying to put into practice when it comes to that deeper rest.
Mm. And how do you feel about work now?
I've always loved work. I think there's a great joy in being able to do something well and with others. And so I am so grateful that I still can do that.
Mm.
But what I'm trying to be more mindful now of is the fact that when I'm there, I need to be present, but I can let it go at the end of the day, and I can trust that with the Lord. And that's going to look like me pausing. It's going to look like me staying where my feet are. And if I am in a conversation with a colleague, I can just be present in that, and then I can let that go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it just opens up opportunities to have a freedom in being able to rest, even in the busyness of work.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that. And the good news is with rest that we actually don't need 3 months of long service leave to discover it.
Yeah.
It just needs time and space for a simple prayer, really.
Absolutely. To ask
God for help. And it's a prayer that we can pray that Jesus would love to answer, because he's a good master. So, listener, If you're in need of true rest, then join with me as I pray this prayer now. You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. Draw me back from distraction and striving, and teach me to find my peace in you alone. Amen. Thanks, Shamara, for the conversation today.
No problem.
Listeners, just so you know, I have a variety of conversation partners on the Her Work podcast. Each conversation partner brings their own workplace-related challenge for us to explore. The episodes will drop twice a month, and you can find them on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to get in touch, please feel free to email me at caroline.spencer@citybibleforum.org. On the City Bible Forum landing page, you'll find the Bible references. You'll also find some reflection questions. These have been designed so that you and a friend can listen to the podcast and use the questions as a springboard for discussion around your own particular challenges. Until next time.